Canucks Central Thursday. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah here on the Mobile Kintec Studio. Kintec Footwear and Orthotics working together with you in step. Yes, the Mobile Kintec Studio on the steps in front of the Abbotsford Center at Gate 4 as we get ready for Game 4 between the Abbotsford Canucks and the Charlotte Checkers in the Calder Cup final set.
Getting one game closer to taking home the chalice, and that being the Calder Cup trophy. And we've been waiting for a trophy to come to the Lower Mainland from a professional hockey team, and maybe, just maybe, or at least to this region, maybe, just maybe, Abbotsford can do that in the next couple games.
They can get within one win with a victory tonight.
Yes.
Scored six unanswered in game three to take a 6-1 win. The buzz, you're feeling the vibes around Abbotsford.
Yeah.
Already seen a Nils Höglander jersey walking around town, so people are going to get filing in as we get ready for puck drop. We're going to have a full pregame show after 6 o'clock for the Abbotsford Canucks and the Charlotte Checkers. Puck drop is at 7 with Brandon Astle and Landon Ferraro. And then, after the game, we're going to have a full post-game show as well with Canuck Central from the Abbotsford Center. And wrap it all up, put it on the podcast feed. If you miss it later, you'll be able to find it on the Canucks Central podcast. But a lot to get into because things are happening. The rumor mill is cooking. Let's get to it. It's the Open on Canuck Central.
Welcome to the Open.
Oh! That's your home! Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
Yes, it's the Open on Canuck Central. We bring you the latest on the Vancouver Canucks and our take on it. And while some things are happening around the league, signings and things of that nature, the Canucks are still looking to wheel and deal and make some moves and make some additions to their roster. It was reported earlier today from the Athletic's Michael Russo that the Canucks potentially offered the 15th overall pick in exchange for Marco Rossi, their prized RFA that I guess they're not too keen on and the Canucks would like to acquire. But as of right now, here at 4:03 on June 19th, the 15th overall pick does not appear to be enough to get it done for Marco Rossi.
No, and, you know, Drans had a good write-up on The Athletic as well about the latest on the Vancouver Canucks. And, you know, something that has been a possibility, that as much as the Canucks want to make their team better, as much as they want to be aggressive, and I brought this up recently about, hey, we sit here and talk about the Canucks trading the 15th overall pick and going out and doing all these things, but what if they can't? What if they can't land somebody with these assets? Can the Canucks actually make that selection 15th overall? It seems like Patrick and Rutherford are doing their best to move that draft pick, but if Minnesota is very lukewarm on that pick and perhaps another prospect or a roster player or whatever else the Canucks may have offered, what does that tell you about the value of the 15th overall pick? And how does that inform us on the Canucks, say, probability of actually making an impact move?
Their pathways to making an impact move seem rather slim.
The fact that they're even this aggressive on Rossi,
yeah,
is an indication of how slim or how few those pathways are, because I don't think Rossi is the ideal target for Vancouver. I think they'd love to have somebody with a slightly bigger profile and a more of a two-way profile, but as you've mentioned, there
just
aren't...
Just keep hating on the undersized...
I'm not hating. I'm telling
top
you...
Top 10 pick that just scored 60 points.
That Minnesota's looking to trade.
Well, but they still want something pretty good for him because the 15th overall pick isn't good enough.
Right. But
as of today.
But, yeah, sure. But what does that tell you, though, about the Canucks' ability to be able to land something if the 15th overall pick for somebody that they did not even view as a perfect solution,
yeah,
it may not happen for them.
This is the Canucks' problem in a nutshell, right? It's like you have very specific trade assets that you're willing to move off of, and I'm not sure there's a ton of interest in what those assets are around the league, especially in a climate where most teams are looking to make additions, or if they are trading roster players, they maybe want roster players back in return. The Minnesota Wild, Bill Guerin, looking at this and sure, maybe they may not be the most keen on Marco Rossi, and you know, his play time dipped in the playoffs. Still had 2 goals in the playoffs, by the way, for somebody that's undersized and was underplayed in the postseason. Still got some production out of him, so maybe they should look at that. But point being, they've obviously soured on the idea of giving him the Matt Boldy type contract, 7x7, and the relationship is at a bit of an impasse between the Wild and Marco Rossi. And yet, the Wild are looking at that and saying, well, like, if we're trading a guy who just scored us 20-plus goals and gave us 60 points this year, how are we replacing that? And are we going to be able to replace that with the 15th overall pick? Are we going to be able to flip the 15th overall pick? What kind of value does it have if we take that and try to shop it elsewhere? And it just doesn't feel like there's a ton of interest in these first-round draft choices. There seems to be this seems to be a year where these first-round draft choices are more available than they ever have been. And so you're the Canucks, and you have this as your main trade piece or one of your main trade pieces. And it's just, it's not super enticing, certainly to the Minnesota Wild at this point. Maybe that changes over the next week and a bit, depending on how other teams try to go in on Marco Rossi. But as of right now, the Canucks are in a really difficult position where I'm curious if they're going to have to go into an uncomfortable territory to get a player that they truly want to get. And that might mean trading one of their more prized prospects to get something done.
But I'm not sure they're actually going to trade DPD or Verlander. And if they're not willing to trade those two guys, then you're not going to be able to land one of the high-end players. Is that opinion going to change?
This is where maybe preaching patience would be best for the Canucks front office, because I think that's something that would hurt the long term of this franchise in a way that's going to be, I mean, look, you've been robbing Peter to pay Paul for so long. How many times have I said this? But you're really feeling it now, because you do have very few assets, and the ones you do have, you probably don't want to move all that much. Plus, you don't have too many roster players that other teams are looking at and being like, yeah, I want a piece of that guy.
Well, the roster players they do have that people would want are the ones you don't want to trade.
Yes.
I mean, they could trade Filip Hronek. They could probably trade Marcus Pettersson, who they just acquired, right? Like, they could do those things. I just don't think they want to do those things, and I don't think those things are going to happen.
Like, does Dakota Joshua have a ton of value? Probably not.
Probably not coming off the year that he had.
Nils Höglander, does he have a ton of value? 3 years at $3 million per... Like
those pieces aren't the ones that are bringing you back anything.
Yeah, like, sure, teams might have some interest, but it's not going to have a ton of trade value is the way I feel about it.
So do we see Vancouver, in terms of what their pivot point is, what is their pivot point going to be? Is it going to be, hey, let's go after, like we mentioned, the Cook and Niemi types who will be cheaper to acquire? Is that the pathway they go down? Or is the pathway they go down the more familiar one, where let's just sign Pugh Suter and at least we feel, okay, well, we got the center back, and we have Hedl. We can kind of figure it. They can fight it out to see who's the second-line center or whatever. It's not ideal. And they go about finding wingers via trade and free agency, perhaps. Like, is that the pivot point? Like, where do they go if you can't land one of these guys via trade?
The thing is, like, if you bring back Pugh Suter and go about it that way, it's like you're admitting that your pathway back to relevance and back to the playoffs is Elias Pettersson getting back to form, and you're just like that's the key to your whole season.
Well, isn't it regardless?
It somewhat is, but
well, I think it is regardless because I mean
you're trying to upgrade because what you saw at the end of the year wasn't good enough.
No doubt, but I mean, are you even if they get a credible second line set? Let's say they get Marco Rossi. Does that change anything if Pettersson doesn't find his game anyways? Like, you're gonna need Pettersson regardless. I think you're gonna need Pettersson to turn things around. But to your point, the more impactful player
if you
they
come
acquire,
back with a similar roster, you're like, how is this going to be any better than it was last year?
Yeah, but again, it comes down to then the biggest thing would be the bounce back and the fact that you have a new look defense. Like, would you look at, like, for instance, how much better is this team next season? Let's say that you get Demko done, you have that as your tandem, you keep your defenseman, so you have your core, you bring Pugh Suter back, and let's say you trade for a Barbashev type and then sign another free agent winger, for instance. Where do you think this team is at ceiling wise? It's better than what it was to end last year.
You're a playoff team. should be a playoff team.
But how much better are you than that?
Not a lot better.
But are you at least in a better...
You should be a playoff team, but you're not a lot better.
Are you in a better position doing that, let's say, and then actually making the 15th overall selection, mm-hmm. and perhaps that player having a good draft year, and maybe the asset value increases, and at least you added something else? And now if you want to move another future pick, you have the ability that you kept your trade powder dry, so to speak, when it comes to the big pieces, so you can make that move down later. Like, is that a better path to go down than, let's say, capitulating and giving up DPD and the 15th overall pick for Marco Rossi?
I think that is the more prudent path to go down. For sure it is the more prudent
path. And I mean, if that's what the Canucks, and I'm not saying they are, but if those are the options the Canucks are faced with, again, like, we're talking about threading a needle to bring Quinn back.
Yeah.
And I know what makes it harder to bring Quinn back is making your situation worse.
Mm-hmm. And you can make the situation a lot worse by committing too many futures to try and making this roster better. And then not only would you, if this year goes sideways, then Quinn doesn't even look at this and say, well, there's, at least I can see that there's some pieces around me that are growing. Right? If you trade a DPD, if you trade a Willander, there's not even a future that you can sell to anybody, and then you get into a spot where you're forced into trading Quinn and starting the rebuild, so to speak. And I what Connor McDavid had to say today regarding his future in Edmonton, it's like, as long as I see a path to winning, yeah, it shouldn't be a problem, right? And for as much as there was some interesting commentary there from Connor McDavid, he is still about to negotiate a massive contract.
Yeah, of course.
Everybody should keep that in mind. But ultimately, it's similar for Quinn Hughes. As long as I see a pathway to winning, then there's probably a pathway to a contract extension. But if you trade futures and suck this year, then you're cooked. Well, you're completely cooked. There's nothing to sell to Quinn Hughes.
Well, you're completely done. I mean, do you have a better chance of retaining Quinn if you keep the pick, make the selection, make more prudent, obviously, not...
Quinn's a smart enough guy that if he sees some good things happening under the hood, I'm sure he'll notice that.
I think that would give you a better chance. Not that he would stay, but that would give you a better chance. And to your point, blowing that stack and having nothing to show for it at the end, and then you're done. Like, you played your hand and it's over. Like, you're the only, all you can do at this point is fold, right? Like,
you went all in and you're out.
And you're out.
You've lost the World Series of Poker.
And it sucks because I don't think anybody wants this offseason to be the one where the Canucks just ended up just kicking the can down the road.
Yeah.
Nobody wants that. But sometimes kicking the can down the road, it's better than making mistakes and you don't have the opportunity to maybe give yourself more time, right? And that's what I think where the Canucks find. And I think it's, you read Drance's piece. I talked to people with the team too. Like, it's very sobering. This is why, we've brought up over the last little bit that, hey, as much as the Canucks want to do these things, there's no guarantee they're going to be able to land their targets. You've been making the point. A lot of teams have better assets. A lot of teams have more cap space. And if they're willing to move some of their best assets and the Canucks aren't willing to move Ylander or DPD, it's like showing up to a gunfight with a knife. Like, you're not going to come away with a victor. It's going to be tough for you, right?
We saw this story play out in the Jake Guentzel trade negotiations last year's deadline. And we've seen it play out on a couple of occasions because the Canucks have such a shallow pool to trade from. There's only a couple of things other teams want from you. And if you're not willing to give those up, guess what? You're not getting the player that you desire. It's a different conversation when it's Elias Lindholm or when they went to go trade for Nikita Zadorov. Those were easy trades. It's like, yeah, Calgary, like, oh, you're going to be the team that pays this price at this moment? Then sure, you're going to get that guy. But if there's any kind of a competition, any kind of a trade, an arms race, Canucks are losing.
No, for sure. And I mean, and I do agree. Like, we talked about this before. Because the Canucks, if they're not bringing Besser back, not getting anything for him, to me, was an L. Like, I wanted to see some asset. To me, a second-round pick back is better than nothing, right?
Yes.
But let's be honest. If you had a second-round pick, an extra second-round pick right now, that's not changing your equation too much anyways. You know what I mean? Like, if an extra second-round pick is what it takes to get a player the Canucks want, I think they're willing to do that. The issue here is those are not the things that are standing in the way of the Canucks acquiring those players. What's standing in the way of the Canucks acquiring those players is that their 15th overall pick is not good enough in and of itself, and they've showed no willingness so far, which I think is prudent. I think most of us agree to not trade DPD and Verlander for those types of players, right?
Exactly. This text comes in. So Canucks are a poor team and have few prospects. This is just incredibly bad. Unsigned text. I wouldn't say. Look, they're in the Calder Cup final with a pretty young team. They don't have few prospects, but they do have few prospects with big trade value.
Yes, you know, they actually have a lot of nice prospects that have nice potential, and because of the mass they've added, like they have like a dozen prospects who played games, right, and a few more. Like you have potentially 15 prospects that have shown varying degrees of NHL potential.
Yes.
We have that many. A couple are, like, outside of Elander and DP, like I'm talking about the other guys, one or two might pop.
Yes.
But it's impossible to say which ones.
Yes.
So because of that, their value isn't high necessarily, but as far as the Canucks having all those guys, you should feel good about it because chances are one or two of those guys, whomever they are, whether it's Mancini, whether it's, I don't know, Sasse, like, whoever, like, can somebody become more of an impact guy? Maybe, you know, Linus Karlsson becomes a 20-goal guy.
Yeah.
Or something. Like, that's what they're going to need. It's just, is anybody confident to name any individual one of those players to be that person for them to have high trade value?
This text comes in. This is making the Marcus Pettersson deal look better for the Vancouver Canucks. I don't think I would go that far. Part of the value in the Pettersson deal was that you got Pittsburgh to take on the Desharnais contract and the Danton Heinen contract, and that's a big reason why it cost the Rangers pick to get Marcus Pettersson.
Yeah, now, so because that pick is still, I mean, the Rangers haven't determined yet what they're doing, have
no.
they? So the Rangers have to determine, are they just sending that pick or keeping this pick, and is next year's pick going there? And if you're getting an open-ended 2026 pick, that could be the first overall pick if the Rangers have a bad year. That's a really nice asset. Now, it may not even come to that, right?
Yeah.
But if the take is you were fading the 2025 first round draft pick and its value, that is the correct bet,
yeah.
right? Because you see how little value the 2025 pick does have.
It's not great, you know. First round draft choices. I always say this: not every first round draft choice is created equal, and I think more people have gotten on to that. So, yeah, you know, first-round draft choices in this year's draft don't have a ton of value, even in the top 15, as this is showcasing.
Yeah.
Late-round picks don't have a ton of value. And the other part of this is there's not a lot of teams just looking to add futures right now. And that's a big problem when you're going to the table with a 15th overall pick as your best trade asset. There's too many teams trying to get better and not just wanting to make deals on strictly futures.
Yeah, for sure. And Will from Salmon Arm says, you guys are depressing me.
I'm sorry, Will.
Yeah, but
should be a joyous occasion.
Yes.
Okay, Canucks are in game four of the Calder Cup Finals.
I don't. Like, this is, it's not meant to be. It's more about, it's not necessarily depressing. If you are patient and things work out, it's just how confident are you and how willing are you to be patient? I think if you are, like I've said before, if the Canucks didn't have this immediacy over trying to show Quinn a path forward, yeah. I would feel very good about taking it easy this year.
Yeah.
About not overspending on somebody and competing for a playoff spot, letting some of these young guys develop, see what they become, give them some experience, and take it from there. Mm-hmm. Like, I would love to see them do that and have the patience to do that. It's just, is that what they can afford to do? You know what I mean? And that's why I don't necessarily think holding firm is the worst option in the world. It's just the one where you're going to feel uneasy because you're not solving the issue yet, right?
A couple more texts coming in. Tell Sat to quit flipping the bird at drivers. You can hear them all honking at you guys. We are doing no such things.
No.
They are agreeing with all of our takes here on the show as they drive by. One thing I will say about this. I'm curious, so was it a flat no from Bill Guerin in the Minnesota Wild, or is this trade and this framework of a trade potentially still on the table as they wait to see what else might be out there and what else other teams might be willing to do to acquire Marco Rossi?
For sure. So, I mean, if this is getting out, that the Canucks offered this pick and it's coming out from Minnesota sources, I would say it's because it's the best offer they've received so far. And it's not quite enough, but it's what they're trying to build on.
Yeah.
Are they
Which
saying,
is a dangerous game. They might not get better offers and maybe they end up with worse.
Yeah, but I mean, let's say, for instance, like, we don't know what the negotiations were, but let's say for argument's sake, the Canucks offer the 15th overall pick and a prospect.
Mm-hmm.
and not named Vilander or DPD or even Lekromäki, right?
Right.
Let's say they offer a better prospect that's still not one of those guys. Does that change, perhaps? Mm.
Maybe that does change it. Maybe they do. Maybe there is a roster player Minnesota does have interest in, whoever that might be. But
yeah,
maybe that's something the Canucks consider.
Sure. I mean, I know we were driving and listening to Canucks talk, and he keeps bringing up Bluger being a guy that he can see Minnesota having interest in.
Garen was obviously in the Pittsburgh organization when Bluger was there.
And it makes sense, but I mean, to me, that's not the big needle mover, but it's more of like, if you're trading Bluger next year at the trade deadline, what are you getting for him at best? A third-round pick?
Yeah.
So that's kind of the valuation. That's the way I would look at it, right? So let's say that you offer the first-round pick and the third round, and a third-round value in a Bluger type is a roster player that can help them. What else do you have to add to it?
Yeah.
You know, and I know they brought Mancini, for instance. Like, would you do that? And is that what it takes?
It seems like a lot.
I don't disagree with you.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily disagree with you, right? And that's where, to your point, they could get more for Vancouver. Let's say that's what you need to add. You need to add one more piece.
Yeah. If you need to add one more piece, look, I like Victor Mancini a lot, but I'd still prefer, if I'm making a trade for the Canucks, I prefer to move Mancini, obviously, over Elias Pettersson or Tom Vilander.
Yeah.
I'd love to keep all three because I think you're going to need those defensemen at some point in the future.
Yeah.
This is where it gets tricky for Vancouver because I just don't know what else is out there. Like, even, you know, one of the things that stood out to me in Michael Russo's bigger piece, because there's a lot more that he says than just this, when he mentioned the Canucks offered the 15th overall for Marco Rossi, he says that Minnesota would be willing to trade Liam Ogren to get something to help their current roster.
Mm-hmm.
So they're in a similar spot to the Canucks where, you know, they are willing to trade one of their better prospects to get something to help their forward group. So, you know, it's kind of like two teams looking for the same things, and that's where, okay, if Minnesota's looking at trading maybe Liam Ogren to help their roster, that means they probably don't have any real interest in Jonathan Lekromäki. That means, you know, there's probably fewer pathways for the Canucks outside of one of those defensemen to get this deal over the line.
That's where Hoglander is interesting.
Mm.
But that's how does Minnesota view him? Maybe they don't view the contract as a positive. You know,
yeah.
Maybe they don't, you know, have belief in the player. But he would fit the idea of a roster player, has upside.
Bring some production to your roster.
You know, and if you do that in a first-round pick, like, are is Vancouver willing to do that? Does that move the needle for Minnesota, for instance, right? And if you're trading Hoglander for Rossi, and I agree that Rossi's a better player, but how much better are you getting when you swap those two guys?
Yeah. In theory, you're getting better because Rossi's a center. So there's that.
Yeah. Like, you're getting better. I don't disagree. But I'm saying, like, is it worth the 15th overall pick?
And Nils Höglander.
Like, how much better does that make you?
Yeah.
And also the opportunity cost of not having that pick to do other things. And I think, again, that's where the equation is kind of difficult here, right?
Very, very difficult times ahead for the Vancouver Canucks with this latest news that 15th overall pick and potentially something added on to it, not enough get a Marco Rossi deal done.
No doubt. I love this text. Talk Abbotsford Canucks. This is the Calder Cup Finals. Why aren't you guys broadcasting there? Let's go through the roster. Let the people know you guys are what do you guys think? This is huge for the franchise. We are in Abbotsford. We're outside the Abbotsford Center. We're doing a three-hour show today because we're doing an hour pregame show. So I think we can all handle a little bit of Vancouver Canucks talk over the course of a three-hour show, and we'll have plenty of Abbotsford Canucks talk because we're going to be here talking about the game, pregame. We'll be doing intermissions, Brandon Astle and Landon Ferraro, and we're here for postgame.
Yeah.
So trust me, we are in Abbey, and we're going to spend a lot of time on Abbotsford Canucks.
You can count on it. See, look,
they're honking at us. Yeah.
And listen.
Yeah, there we go.
We got a wave
I knew
as
it.
Well.
I got a wave as well. What's up? Big shout out to the black car driving by.
Loving the takes here on Canucks Central. All right. We'll get into the Canucks Central roundup a little bit later on. There's a few things we want to touch on. And Andy Strickland is going to join us. He's had a lot of things percolating with what's going on in the rumor mill. He'll join us on the hotline. Powered by Power West Industries. Don't get caught in the dark when it matters most. Visit them at powerwest.ca today. They keep the lights on. You are listening to Canucks Central.